How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. And today I'm joined by Jono and Liam as we have a review of our first ever bye round or double game week. Jono, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. I mean, the Hawks just knocked off the ladder leaders by 50 odd points. What a weekend. What a weekend.
Huge game.
Yeah. And it really takes the shine off what was a shocking fantasy score, you know? So that was what was really important.
Oh, I like to stay positive. We could stay positive in this first review of your week, and then we can talk about how bad our fantasy scores were. But good win for the Hawks. If Will was here, you know, he's still honeymooning, he would say, great win for Geelong coming back after their shocker last week. So good to see Geelong's back in good form. Liam, how was your weekend?
It was a weekend. Very much in the vein of, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all.
Okay, that's good. And I also had a good weekend. We'll move straight along from that. I had a great, well, very intense game of watching Freo coming in from being three goals down at three-quarter time and then having a huge last quarter. Tig went out in the first quarter, which is really like our scoring avenue. It was already going to be a tough game against Melbourne, but yeah, seeing Freo end that game with being one goal up, a huge last quarter, very exciting, made for a great day and a great week for me, regardless of the fact that fantasy was bad.
Yeah, I think that was like the second biggest comeback from three-quarter time deficit. It's not a bad effort.
Mm.
And after the siren win,
yeah,
you got to appreciate those. They don't come along very often.
It was very good. That's probably where our optimism ends for a short period of time. We'll try to find some more sources of joy later, but let's talk about how we went. So this was the first week.
Wasn't that a special 2 minutes of optimism?
And we really tried.
We all tried the same amount.
Yep. First game of having players play twice. And let's just have a quick debrief of who we captained. I captained Michaela Cairn, who played one game and then got suspended, so I had one round of captains. Jono, what did you do?
I captained Bree Davey for a wonderful 33 points.
Mm.
I got to say, not the way to start your first double week round, that's for sure.
Made even better watching it live and knowing that it was bad, and watching Bree Davey live in person do the lap around the boundary and go off into the rooms knowing full well that doesn't often lead to someone then coming back out onto the ground.
No, it was rough.
Will's also had the same unfortunate captaining. And Liam, you're actually the only one of us that had a captain play two games. How's that feel?
Yeah, it was good. Absolutely incredible. It's a low bar. Let's put it that way. I captained Izzy Pritchard. I'd VC'd Bree Davey. So obviously I'd traded her in. This is after I'd traded in Britt Benici the week prior. So I'm just feeling immaculate at the moment.
Mm. So there's a lot of people that are going to be celebrating some absolutely massive scores. There's like 9 or 10 scores in the 2000s. There's a lot of people in the 1700s, 1800s. But let's have a look at how we went. Jono, you're up first.
It's sad to say that this is not even my highest score for the year because I had a 1,367, which made me drop about 2,000 ranks. Not my finest. On the plus sides, my trades went remarkably well. You know, I got rid of Ash Saint, who had a terrible game. I got rid of Benici, who didn't play. Mm. If you ignore the fact that I brought in Bree Davey, my other options in Ramos and Grace Campbell both had good games. Mm-hmm. My bad call of the weekend, it's Bree Davey. You know, for so much of the week, I had Sophie Conway coming in, who ended up being the only player to put up more than 200 points across the weekend. Alas. If I had a good captain score, I think the rest of my score did pretty well. So that's not so bad.
Hmm. Do you want to go your blind side?
My blind side was Courtney Hodder, who is probably the exception to the rest of my squad doing pretty well now that I think about it. I thought against West Coast and the Bulldogs, both matches that the Brisbane Lions won comfortably, even with her playing forward, I thought she was going to put up at least a 50 in both games. But particularly today, very disappointing. Could not get near the footy. Just had Sophie Conway kicking it over her head for behinds all of that game. So a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, that was a hard watch knowing you had her. I was watching because that was the only thing separating you and I as to who wins in our league. Mm. And I was like, oh, shame. Oh. But yeah.
Oh, you were so disappointed.
Oh, no, over her head again. Another Conway behind. Yeah, no, that was a tough one. I'm up next, only 2 points ahead of you on 1369. So another score starting with 1300. Not good. I also fell about 2000 spots. I'm now about 2593. Not great. My good call was, I think I've had this as my good call before, but just having Riddell in my side. She was great. She was one of my better scorers for this week, getting 129. Probably should have captained her, but that's okay. And my bad call was that even on the pod last week, like every time I watch Pritchard, I brought Pritchard into my boyfriend's side. I've been watching her intently. I've been speaking about Liam, what a great call Pritchard's been. And then after all of that umming-nahring, I didn't bring her in last week. I went Davey, and then last minute I went Davey to Cairn, because why not just bring in someone you haven't talked about it at all? It's my usual move.
This is the impulsive thought trade.
Yeah, exactly. John, I was just saying he doesn't like have impulsive thoughts in trades. I was like, oh, that must be nice. But yeah, so just not going with Pritchard was my bad call, because now it doesn't make any sense to bring her in. She's had her double game, but oh, I really wanted to. And then Cam getting suspended was just not great. And my blind side was that Bowers down to me had, before the double games came in, 24 free kicks against. I've just been the queen of free kicks against this round. That is like 24 times 3, 70 something points that I could have got, but I didn't, because they're just all free kicks against. That is just way too many. And so many of those came from Collingwood players. So I was just blindsided by how many free kicks those Collingwood players gave away in the first game. Wasn't great.
And to think it was just one more that would have got me the win over you. Just one more. That was the perfect amount you could concede and get away with it.
Yes, nailed it. Liam, you're up next.
Yeah, and I think I had the highest score of anyone on the pod, which is a low bar this week. I had 1487, so that meant that I dropped from rank 1200 to 1948, so down 664 ranks for the week. I don't know if I really had a good call. Maybe VCing Davey was the only one. Because my bad call has just been my downgrades recently. They're not going to make me any points. I'm denied over a number of Collingwood and Western Bulldogs forwards as options to trade in. And I went with Aleary Morris. Just a shocking decision on my part.
Why?
Looking to try and bank some cash, knowing that I would be wanting to bring in a North Melbourne mid this week. But the real bad call was Davey, given I ummed and ahed over bringing in Ella Roberts all week. Mm. Or like, you know, the 48 hours between the round ending last week and then the first game on Tuesday. And the game she had today was just incredible. So knowing that I could have had basically 200 points or 190 something that Roberts had versus a big fat 33 sitting at my M4 really did sting.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't want to, I don't know, kick you while you were down, Liam, but I was surprised, given you had an actual captain, that you hadn't outscored us by so much more, you know? Because I was looking at the maths of, you know, if I had captained Marinoff or if I had brought in Conway instead. And the scores jump so much. So was it, I'm curious to hear what your other downside things were.
It's Riddell. It's not having Riddell that's the issue. And having Michaela Pounga on field for four.
I mean, that more so than Riddell.
That might be it. That hurts. Yeah.
That one really stung, because I too considered many different trade-ins. I really wanted to try and upgrade Michaela Pounga. Decided against it. I just had all these trade options that I could have done. There was one where I brought in Matty Geeran instead of Bree Davey. And every single other trade option, pretty much, outside of one that I considered trading in Dakota Davidson, would have netted me substantially more points this weekend.
What were your trades in the end?
I had Davey, Sheeran and Morris coming in. And I traded out Jess Hosking. And that's a name that I was hoping we might not have to mention this entire podcast. Because that was insane. I could do that
hell of a game. Side. A hell of a game from Jess Hosking. You must have been so relieved when she was named out for the second.
Oh, thank bloody goodness.
Same.
The blind side of the week, though, was Ruby Tripodi managing to score a ton. We talk about outlier games, or at least I do a bunch on this pod. The 129 tackles for North Melbourne sticks out as the biggest outlier we may have ever had. It was insane, but shout out to Ruby for only her second ever ton across both AFL and VFLW. So incredibly impressive, almost entirely built off tackles. Her time on ground, still nothing spectacular, 64%, but it's 13 tackles along with a goal that really stood out for me. And just as another blindside, Mia King's last quarter in that game against Port Adelaide, she had 56 points. There were only two people on the ground for Port Adelaide who scored more than she did in the fourth quarter for the entire game. That's truly ridiculous. Stupid, ridiculous stuff. I think she had like 10 tackles in the quarter. So that game blindsided me. I almost said that as like my favorite bit of the weekend, but it was such a sloppy game. There was like 21 total marks. It was insane.
Yes, very proud of friend of the pod there, Ruby Tripodi. I'm so excited that she's scoring these massive scores, having a huge impact on that game, because that was the risk, that she couldn't make her way into such a tight North midfield. And I'm particularly excited to have her next week, when it's North's double week, I believe. And then we've once again all been outdone by the Tamara Smith of it all. Liam, run us through that.
Yeah, so it scored a 16-18, which puts it overall rank at 405. I haven't actually run the maths on how much higher that is than the week before. It's gone up 50 ranks from last week, and that was including me forgetting to make the trades for it until Saturday afternoon. I only did two, one mainly just to get Michaela Pounger off field to trade in Chelsea Randall. I then basically ended up in a situation where I still didn't VC or see Ali Anderson, didn't have Schilling on field, didn't have Hartill on field over other rookies in positions, and it still blitzed a lot of us.
Oh, that's what having a proper captain will do.
That is absolutely what it will do.
That proper captain was just Ebony Marinoff. Yeah. It wasn't Ali Anderson like it could have been.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's silly.
Well, we'll reflect briefly soon on what we've learned from this first lot of double rounds. But who wants to take us through the watch and wait scoreboard?
I can do it again. And I suppose the key thing to know is that our top coach in Maz Rovers has put up a 1,882 and extended his lead by about another 100 points.
Oof.
This team is running away with it, so it's going to be very, very tough to chase down. There's a few people trying to, and one of them this week was Ryan with his team I Love Carlton with a 2,089, which is just absurd. I assume this team was a week four build, you know, get every premium, get every single player to plan twice.
Yeah, I think
it's worked. It's worked well.
I think it might have been given that Ryan's overall rank is 16,000 and something. So I think he's had an excellent double week this week. Might not see him again.
But there was one team a little bit behind with a 1991 that's currently ranked second. So I think this is to me suggesting that a lot of the teams ranked quite highly at the moment are... they've highly prioritized this early week in the double weeks, and it is something that we can chase down a little bit later.
Yeah.
So excited to see how that works. If you wanted to stay in the top 100 this week, you had to score 1,690.
Oof.
With Dim Sims, who are in 100th place right now, having a total score of 5,687. So a big score. I think this is probably a good sign of what the double weeks are going to be like. We should expect a lot higher scoring than usual.
Yeah, that's huge. 1690. Mm. Oh, wow. Okay, so no update from our free kick league because we're doing this before lockout has lifted once again. But let's have a look at our hot topics. So this week we're going to chat through what we've learned about the double week teams, some trade targets for week five, and rookie chat. So in terms of what we've learned about the double weeks, well, something that I've learned is that I should have just captained Marinov, like I said, because there were only 10 players in the double weeks that outscored Marinov, and I didn't have, I don't think, any of them. But there were four players in the top 20 that were not, like, 16 players in the top 20 were from the double rounds. Four were not. That was Noffy, Riddell, Whitford, and Garner. But it just goes to show that those double weeks have a big impact. Like, they're giving, if you're lucky and you've got one of those players that's a classic primo and you can captain them and they will outstand or withstand, sorry, some of the other players getting double. But other than that, there's definitely benefits to trading in a midfielder and chucking the C on them in these double weeks. Ideally, a midfielder plays twice. Jono, what about you?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, if 16 of the top 20 players were double round players, I think we want as many of them as possible in every round. Because looking at the other side of things, I think of all the players that played twice, so not players like Bree Davey who played one and then didn't play again. If everyone who played twice, only two of them scored less than 50 with a combined score. You're just so much safer. You know, you're always going to get a good score. And if you do select the right captain, had you put the C on Sophie Conway, you would have ended up with 430 points from your captain. So I understand that we've suffered here by not having any of the right players, but I'm very confident this week that one of Riddell or Garner or someone in that echelon is going to finally give me a good captain score.
I'm very much looking forward to chucking that C on Riddell. What about you, Liam? What did you learn in these double weeks?
I think the main thing for me was the importance of still playing like with a degree of risk allocation when it comes to VC loopholing. Like Bree Davies 33 is very frustrating for anyone that had the C straight on her. But I think it does speak to the fact that it still is worthwhile putting a VC on and then hoping to be able to make sure that your trades either have a red dot coming in or ideally already having a red dot in your team and configuring it so that you can just take a Marin off. Or if you were like me, just go across to Pritchard, who I think at this stage, I think she averaged something like 80 in the end across the two games. So fine. Obviously not the, you know, Conway 106 or whatever she averaged. I just think it's really important to still not get overawed by the prospect of 400 points and still playing with, you know, keeping the risk at a minimum in mind.
Yeah, we definitely learned that it is a very risky move because the upside is massive, but the downside is you just get left behind. So risks, obviously injury, like Davey going out midway. What was it? Davidson's last minute out from that first game, the latest possible out, like warming up on the field and then not playing. But then suspension as well. Like that's super annoying and something that I didn't really put enough weight on. As soon as I saw Can do that tackle, I was like, drats, there goes my second captain. Yeah.
I think the other thing I would probably take away from that as well is we didn't see many players like explicitly rested for an entire game, but we did see some lower game time from some of the more important players and probably some more forward time. So the big one was Ali Anderson, who would have been on about 85, 90 at three-quarter time, then spent most of the fourth quarter either forward or off the ground resting. And she also had a very extended stint on the bench in the fourth quarter against West Coast. I think that that echelon of player that is so integral to a team, I think that's the kind of resting that we're going to see. And that was always going to be a big unknown as well. Like, we just don't know how clubs are going to handle the advent of these double game weeks. So just something to keep an eye on too. So I think the big one, the big watch this week is Garner and whether or not she spends substantially more time resting forward or off the ground, and then to a degree Riddell, who already, I think she played a little bit lower time on ground this week, may see a little bit lower time on ground, probably in the low 70s across the two games this week. Now, she has the advantage of being an insanely good points per minute player and just covers ground like it's going out of fashion. Mm. But just another thing to think of, particularly for those teams that are going to be streets ahead. So obviously North Melbourne is a watch this week, but then when we think later down the track for teams that maybe, you know, have some easier matchups. So Adelaide being one that immediately springs to mind, we may see some of that lower time on ground as a result.
I really wonder about a player like Jess Hosking, because that's one where I sort of think, was like, I'm sure she was injured. She was definitely, like, you know, quite sore at the end of that first game. You could very much tell that. But would she have recovered if they weren't playing 4 days later? You know, to me, that's sort of being managed in a way.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hmm. Yeah, either way, it's
definitely
not
as safe as we were initially thinking. So it just keeps you on your toes. I think the VC loopholing is going to be very important. It's going to be my biggest priority with trades this week, is bringing in a red dot that I can comfortably say, you know, this is who I'm putting on ground if I need a captain. So,
yeah. Yeah. We spoke about last week, like, is it essential to have one to trade one in? And I think confirmation is yes. Because Ludkins wasn't actually red dot in the end, was she?
She was. It's just, I was so nervous.
She was emergency both times.
Yeah, and that's the risk with so many injuries and, like, the potential to rest a player because they're a little bit injured. I was like, ooh, Ludkins is risky.
Because I was tossing up, like, if Davey had scored what I'd wanted her to score, and then I'd had to lock Ludkins in on the Wednesday, and then she'd been selected for the Sunday games, I'd be like, well, now I'm going to get a Ludkins 5 as my captain.
Yeah.
Instead of, in the end, a 33.
Wow,
so
big
difference. I guess I should be grateful, I guess.
Yeah, you netted out better. Well done.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay, well, since we've reflected on what we've learned, looking at our week five trade targets then, I think we discussed a bit in last week in terms of the strategy. The strategy has to be the players you're trading out have had their double game. Or alternatively, if you've got multiple red dots and you're looking for some cash gen options, trade out some of those red dots, keep one, you know, for VC loophole. But that's the other good reason to be trading out a player. But I think we want to be getting rid of players that have had their double weeks and trading in almost exclusively from players in the week five or week six double game rounds. Given how quickly injuries happen and things change in this game when we've only got 10 weeks, I think focusing on players in the week five is probably a better idea than week six. But week six is also an option if it really makes sense from your week four trade outs. But you probably don't want to be looking any further than that to week seven. There's just too much that can change before then, and you definitely don't want to be bringing in players from week four.
Yeah, I also agree, because I think there are also limited targets in the week seven bye, and by the time we get there, if you've already got them, then who are you going to be bringing in that week? You know,
yeah.
So if you want to maximize how many we have throughout this entire period, I think having more of a rolling pool rather than putting them all at the end makes more sense.
Yeah. I think out of the players that we've had in week four, there's some that you might consider holding, and we'll go through those in a second. But the trade outs, obviously Davey, Hosking, given her kind of flaky performances in the past, Hartle, good ruck to have for some cash gen options, but not someone that you've gone probably keep long term, and Hodder in that kind of iffy role that we saw this week. But out of the week four players that you might want to consider holding, what do you guys think about these ones? Liam on Pritchard?
I think that Pritchard is a perfect launching point into Garner, Riddell, Conti, would be my thoughts. Just feel like she's done enough of what I was hoping for. I probably would have liked an average that got closer to 90, but an 86, which is what she's got, like,
it's pretty close to 90.
Good. Like, but it's more like I probably wanted 20 points on last year, and she was 72 last year. Again, just a couple of down games, and probably took a little bit of time getting used to no Blackburn there. A perfect launching point now into an uber premium Uber Primo Mid.
Yep, I like it. Thomas, Jono, would you trade her out?
I would assume that people have more than just the one option. If she's your only week four player, I would say trade her on. But generally, I think she is one of the better players to hold on to. I think if you look at her scores, she's had two quite low ones against Collingwood and the Bulldogs, who, you know, the Eagles beat quite handily. And against everyone else, she's put up a reasonably good score. I think she's going to be very consistent across the back half of the year. And as a potential top five candidate, I would hold if you can.
Yeah, I would say if you've got a player in your back line that you want to trade out after their round four performance, it would probably be Slicer, given that she had a fairly low time on ground, even though she did play in the midfield and had some CBAs and looked really good there. But she still looked like she wasn't either potentially fit enough, or they were preventing her from injury by not having her on the ground for a lot of the game, which totally makes sense. Collingwood are injury riddled, but to me, that's a warning sign of someone to trade out. Jono, you're sticking with it? Sorry, Liam.
I'm holding for the moment, but it's more just because of the cash in other people's heads, I can probably get them to better players. Mm. I've got no problem moving Slasher on.
Yeah. I think the thing that scares me, as much as she is playing midfield, it's the fact that there's almost no marks. Just really speaking to the fact that there's not that many marks to be had at all at Collingwood, and they're almost all to defenders. And shout out to Lucy Cronin for a ridiculous performance in defence. I almost think we would have preferred Ruby to have played in defence today against the Western Bulldogs than have played forward. I would have loved an 80. That would have really just given some glimmer of hope launching into this week.
Ah, yes. Well, what about another player from Collingwood, Campbell, over to the forward line? Jono, would you trade her out or keep her?
Yeah, she's one where I think you can go either way. I think at the moment we were talking before about how she's nearly top 10 for averages in the forward line. And particularly over the next few weeks with the injuries to that Collingwood midfield, she's probably going to be getting more time than usual. So I think she's one you can hold for sure. But for the rest of the season, I don't think she's going to be, you know, the next 6 weeks that we have, I don't think she's going to be a priority to hold. So if you have to move her on, I'm okay with it.
And to be honest, I think that if Collingwood weren't so injury-riddled, she would have missed a game more because she was spending a lot of time on the bench, a lot of time getting her hamstrings worked on. Her knees are very taped. She was looking very sore in the second half of both games.
Yeah, she copped a tackle in that, I think it was the third quarter of the Eagles match, and I was just going, I don't know how she's getting up. She was limping. I agree. I don't think she's particularly fit. So
she then miraculously came back onto the ground and hobbled to the next stoppage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it was grim.
I mean, but injuries might decide for us that she's someone that you trade out if she's not playing or gets listed with a late injury. Anderson is one that I think you can hold depending on how many mids you want to chuck into this next round. Like, there's nothing wrong with holding Anderson. It's just that if you've got already a Noffy, a Row Bottom, and you want to bring in some mids that are going to get double points out of like the Conti, Garner, Riddells of the world, then do you have space for her? Do one of those others go? I don't think there's anything wrong with holding her. It just depends on how you're planning to take this next round. What do you guys reckon about Roberts?
I think Roberts is in the similar camp to Pritchard. Probably the right launching point. I thought she had an amazing game today. 10 marks against Brisbane is a spectacular effort. Mm. I just wonder if it's replicable.
Yeah, they really needed her in that game, but it was against Brisbane, so maybe it's not so essential for some of the easier matchups coming ahead. And Jono, what do you reckon about Edmonds?
Yeah, this is a really tough one because I feel like if you've started with Edmonds and you've still got her, you're intending to hold her for the rest of the year.
Mm.
And she definitely scored better across these two rounds than she had early in the season. So I would be leaning towards a hold, but, you know, not a huge issue. I don't think she's going to be the top scoring ruck. So if you want to hold, if you want to trade, go for it.
Yep.
I reckon that Edmonds is probably at the time where you trade her out. Like, if you've held her and you've had O'Dowd or Fiedler on the bench, now is the time to kind of cash out. You've got the double points this week. Look to find a ruck downgrade option across the next two rounds and just look to continue to repeat the process.
Yep, that'll make sense to me. In terms of our round five teams upcoming, in terms of who you want to trade into, we've got North Melbourne, Tasmania Kangaroos, Port Adelaide, Richmond, and Carlton.
Their official birth certificate name.
You know, I like to use it. I want to give Tasmania a shout out while we wait for their team to arrive. Interesting thing to note here is that Port is the only one of those that doesn't play North. And then Jono's very handedly added in, oh, nice, Jono, you're wearing your Tasmania shirt.
I am indeed.
That's nice. Well, I was just going to mention that Port is the only team that doesn't play North aside from North. So thank you for that. That's very helpful. But that means that both Richmond and Carlton are going up for a potential flogging against North Melbourne in this double round. So something to consider when looking at your players. We've got some trade-in options here. Going by line, defenders. Who's keen on Emma Carney?
Like, on a scoring basis, yes. It's more just a question of price. I think if you are looking to try and find a way to upgrade in your midfield as well and get whichever of the kind of three big targets this week, I think that sitting over or at nearly $1 million, it's just going to be real hard to get to her. And I also think she could be someone who rests, at very least in-game.
She could be someone who sort of suffers from the success of North, because her best games so far have come against some of the closer games they've played. So her best game was against Geelong, which was a draw. But in games where they have dominated, so, I mean, they were all over the Brisbane Lions and then they were all over Port Adelaide, she hasn't breached 60. So that to me is a tough one.
Yeah.
I do think she's going to be amongst the highest scoring defenders for the round, though.
Yeah, because she's getting the two scores.
Just because she's a very good player. I don't see her scoring less than a 50, so I think she'll be in and amongst it.
Yeah, and 260s, 120, that'll do it. That'll be up there for the defenders.
Mm-hmm.
One I like that I've already got is Sheeran. I will note that her time on ground's still questionable. In fact, gone down to 51% in this last game, which is frustrating to watch. She also gave away 3 free kicks, which was not great.
In the space of about 6 minutes.
Yeah, she contributed to my 24 free kicks for Bowers Down to Me, so that was good. But I think even with all of that, 51% time on ground and 3 frees against, she got a 59. So if she can do that, she can get 60 with no frees, double that for some more time on ground, and then double again for a double game. So what's that now? I've lost track. 240 points for Sheeran next week. You heard it here first.
Jeez. Is she going to get more time on ground with 4-day breaks? Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
So on the time on ground thing, I feel like those free kicks against in the second quarter almost certainly contributed to her time on ground in the second quarter, because she just gave them away in succession and got taken off again. Like, she had great time on ground in the last quarter. She scored 48 points in the second half. Like, that's a great sign for her improvement. And I do think that Richmond looked great in the midfield, in the second half as well, and that's where she was. So I agree that there's a risk of still managed time on ground. I do, however, think that there are some positive signs. And if you are looking for a target, if you're sitting there with Ruby and you're looking for someone to trade in, she's probably 100K cheaper than Emma Carney. And I would predict that she will outscore Carney over the double games.
Well, someone that's significantly cheaper that you could also consider is Ange Foley at Port Adelaide.
Mel, only you can talk about this one. This is you. This is your player.
I was having a look at, defenders that are playing twice in a reasonable price range, and I was like, oh, hello. But unfortunately, I don't think Ange Foley is going to make an appearance in my side. But she could actually be a potential. Like, she's been doing okay. She got a 50 this week against North, which was a tough matchup. And I will note that Port Adelaide has the two easier matchups in the double game. So maybe not the week to bring in a defender that's a bit questionable anyway. But you could have some fun with that if you want a pod.
She is the most highly averaging Port defender. So, you know.
That's because Port don't have very highly averaging defenders, I would say.
That's at 43 average. It's not exactly anything to write home about.
Anyone you guys are considering? Anyone else?
In the defensive
really
line.
In defense,
it's really tough. I think you could make a case for Tessa Levy to be someone who puts up maybe 110 across the weekend. We haven't got an updated price, but it probably is still low 600s playing on a wing. The real question this week is Dana Finn, who after a spectacular round two, spectacular round one, hasn't shown the same scoring in some trying conditions for both of those games, though.
You had it right the first time, Liam. It was round two.
Yeah, it was round two. I got my wires crossed. I don't think it's so 31 wasn't great. It's the thing that's frustrating though is that her mark share has gone down. So she only had two in each of the last two games and only had 9 touches against Richmond. Again, in some tough, dewy conditions where there weren't that many marks to be had at all.
Yeah. If she'd taken any marks in that Geelong game, I don't think any of the players took marks. That was a slop. But this week surprised me because it was not perfect conditions, but it also wasn't terrible on Thursday night. So
it was at one stage absolutely teeming down with rain.
I was watching that because I was going to go to that game and I was like, oh, good thing I didn't. That looks miserable. Okay, well, moving on then to the midfielders. You've got your Uber Primos here in Ash Riddell. Great choice. Garner, I'd probably pick Riddell over Garner just because of what I'm going to assume is the price. Let me check.
I think you're looking the other
Riddell,
way around there.
I think Riddell's going to be cheaper. It's actually a really tough one.
That's fascinating. My hot take before the season was that Riddell was going to overtake Garner in average by a substantial amount. And this price is suggesting it. That's exciting. I would still take Riddell over Garner because of resting potential. Riddell does kind of feel like the second string or whatever that is. That saying, to Garner, and she's shown that she's really informed this season. Do you guys have a strong preference?
I definitely prefer Riddell. I feel as though Garner will see a less than spectacular role, and I just haven't seen that same game-dominating type of performances that we saw last year so far in the first 4 weeks of this year.
We haven't. But I also, I feel like they're coming. So I still would take Riddell over Garner. I have Riddell as well. But I will be, if I can, finding a way to get the cash to get Garner in this week. I feel...
Really?
I do worry the same way that you guys are about maybe being rested forward. I think Garner being rested forward is just going to end up kicking a lot of goals. You know?
That's true.
I'm not too concerned. I think North's fixture was about as tough as you could hope for them to have over those early rounds. I think of the top teams from last year, they really only have Adelaide left to play. So, you know, the fixture has kind of put them up against it. They've come through undefeated, and I think they're going to beat up on a lot of teams this back half of the year, and I want Garner in my team for that. So I'm going to be getting her in if I can.
I like it. That's going to be a hell of a midfield. And then Moncon, the other good option from Richmond. She's been in some pretty good form this year.
She has, and is going to be a damn sight cheaper than both of the North options. Had an incredible first half this past week, but then in each of the last 2 weeks has seen a form of a tag. I do think as well that she was someone... So she had 2 tackles and only 2 marks. In the game against Carlton. And so I would have loved more points given she had 33 disposals.
you're kind of glancing over her 20 kicks.
Oh, the 20 kicks is great. It's more just like a kick is not as good as a tackle.
No, and tackles are where the points are.
As good as a kick.
Mm.
So only getting two of them was a little frustrating in my eyes. And I'm just trying to remember, who do Richmond actually have this week?
North.
Port Adelaide and then North.
Ah, so a team that just had a game where there was a combined, whatever, like 230 tackles, 220 tackles across those two games. And, like, I think we didn't see much of a tag from Maria Maloney in the game against North. And I actually think she looked really good just playing an out-and-out role as a mid. Particularly in the first half, was one of the few players that was really standing up for Port Adelaide. And then North Melbourne, they don't really run a tag. They have three midfielders that are better than most other midfielders that they go up against. So I think that a kind of 200 across both games is eminently possible, almost likely. And if you can't afford a Garner, think you can be happy in picking Conti and not trying to ruin your team elsewhere to find that extra cash.
Yep, checks out to me. But we also have some cheaper options. We've got Mackenzie. Is she much cheaper?
Oh, Mackenzie Ford.
No, Ellie Mackenzie.
This is Ellie
Mackenzie. Mackenzie Ford is much cheaper. Yeah. She was my potential bench option for Gaston.
Well, we'll be chatting about her a little bit.
This is Ellie Mackenzie. She's 845 pre-shifting of the prices. So she's a cheaper option if you're not willing to break your team, but you're kind of a little bit more crunched for cash.
If you were to try and choose, Mel, between any of the options in that, you know, 1.1 to 900,000 range, because I think that's where a lot of people with Davey, a lot of people with Pritchard, you know, Davey's going to drop some cash. People are going to be reaching to get there. So if you had to choose someone in that bracket, would you go Mackenzie? Would you go Gearan? Would you go Sherrard? Would you go Skepper? You know, what do you think would be your preference? Mia King is also in that range.
Do you have one in mind? Well, I think
Mia King may have priced herself out by having that insane tackle performance. She'd definitely be someone that I would consider, even if you can't afford Conti, going Mia King, who is a fantasy superstar stuck on a team that doesn't need her to be, is what I would say. She's an incredibly talented footballer. And it's almost disappointing that she just recently signed an extension for North, because she will likely be stuck as a third fiddle for a few years to come.
Hmm. I think my heart is telling me Maddie Gearan, and my head is telling me that that's a dumb idea. Because you can't start a rookie and pay $1 million for them 4 weeks later.
But this is the thing. She's not a real rookie.
She's not a real rookie, but she was someone priced at $350,000. I wasn't willing to pay it when she was there, and now she's going to be priced at $1 million, and I'm willing to jump on? That seems insane.
That's fair. I thought for a second you were going to say, oh, I have to go with my... I'm going with my heart. And I was like, oh, it's obviously going to be Abby Mackay, the player that shot you into prominence on the player-picking sweepstakes.
No. As much as I love Abby Mackay, I don't think I'm going to go there this week.
Okay, I'm going to go with Abby Dowrick, because I think that in terms of Port's top midfielders, I was having a look earlier today at like who, just in terms of teams, who consistently finishes in the top three scoring fantasy players for each team over the last few weeks. And Dowrick and Maloney are both in the top three highest scoring Port Adelaide players in 3 out of 4 of the games so far. So that gives me confidence that they're going to stay there. And I think Dowrick has the most bang for buck. Pre-lockout, she's priced at 975K, so she's a little bit on the cheaper side. I don't love the idea personally of stacking my side with too many midfielders from Port Adelaide, but it does kind of protect you against one of them being injured. Well, you got plenty more. So I like Dowrick as an option, but also Gearan is very tempting.
I think Gearan's a great option. And I would take Gearan over. I would overtaking Ellie Mackenzie.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I think so.
I think the query for me on Dowrick, because I like, again, her fantasy prospects long term, she's constantly going to have good market share for Port Adelaide. The problem being that Port Adelaide are not very good at scoring fantasy points, and
outside Abby Dowrick
doesn't get involved in kick mark chains that much. So she's had 7 marks across the season and had 0 against North. That's my concern.
Mm, and in Port Adelaide have the 2 easier matchups this week, so not so much of a tackling game, potentially.
Potentially. Like, I think definitely the torrential downpour in that game will have impacted how many tackles there were.
Mm. Anyone else that you want to bring up into midfield?
Nope.
Over to the forwards then. KB's time to shine. Luckily, already have her, which is nice. And I believe you guys do as well.
I don't. No, I'm one of the few without on the pod.
Oh.
I do not either.
Oh, well, then would you consider trading her in?
I think that's you and Will.
Mm.
Yeah. Would you recommend it?
Yeah. She's nice to watch. She does a lot. She does a lot, which is good. She's stopped giving away so many free kicks, which is also nice to see. She actually didn't contribute to my 24 free kicks at all this week, which I was surprised about. Yeah, no, I think she's a pretty essential cog for Richmond.
My concern is that she's only gone over the 53 once in 4 attempts.
And in good matchups too.
Yeah. I think Port Adelaide will be another good matchup, so she'll do okay there. But North Melbourne is as tough as they come.
Yeah. I think she's got protection from the floor, though, which I do like as an option. But if you don't already have her, would you be bringing her in and then holding? Because that's something I'm considering as well. It's like, if you're bringing in a player, I don't really like having them for just 1 week. Something feels wrong about that. So who would I be bringing in that I could potentially be holding at the end of the round as well?
Yeah, no, I do like that logic, and that's why I'm going, if I can't get to Garner, I think I'm going to get someone much cheaper and try and target Alice O'Loughlin, because that is 3 scores over 70 this year, the other being a suspended missed game.
Mm.
I also like that she's the only one in their team who's been rested recently because she was suspended, so I think I'm hoping that she's unlikely to be on managed minutes, but Liam gave me a little news insight that I need to maybe be aware of.
Yeah, that being that she looked to have, I'm going to say, jarred her wrist around about half time, and then didn't come on for about 10 minutes in the third quarter. So she did actually come on and ended up keep playing, but I would just be watching out for how she went, or how what news there is on that injury. I'm hoping that North Melbourne are forthcoming, at least in their injury report, with saying, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, Alice O'Loughlin had a blah, blah, blah injury. She's fine. She expects to play full minutes or is a test. Just so that there's some indication of, oh, there is a risk that she's someone who may not stay on the ground for long if she's nursing something that's, you know, making her sore.
Yeah. I didn't know that was something you could jar. But we learn things every day.
Jar your wrist.
If she plays, I'm very confident in her. I just think if she can score against tough teams, she can score against the easier teams. So
good logic.
Yeah, I'm happy there. You've got some riskier options written down here, Mel. Any thoughts on these?
Well, Julia Teakle has been doing a lot of goal scoring for Port Adelaide, and Port Adelaide have they're not playing North in this matchup, so that's nice to see. I think that she could be one that, if she can get another 3-4 goals or whatever, she could be a good one round pick. I mean, we don't often pick forwards for their goal scoring capability, but she could be an exception this round. If I believe she's also priced quite cheap.
Well, she'll probably go up a bit because she had a quite low break even after a 57 and a 69.
That's true, but she topped it off with a 38, so in this last round, so not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, second in the leading goal scorer award.
Mm.
It's been an impressive start to the year. I think for 600k, you could do a lot worse.
Can I give you a name that is extremely, extremely risky, but only because they've dropped a mountain of cash? When does the real Gemma Horton turn up?
Oh, it's tough to know. It's tough to know because she's just been so low scoring. Didn't she score like a 20-odd on the weekend?
Yep, it was atrocious. Again, affected by the conditions. Just, like, had a 52 against the Western Bulldogs. I just feel like the resurgence will eventually have to happen.
Will it though? Because she's not someone I don't know what I've said on the podcast, but in my heart, I've never really been that keen on her. Since she left Freo.
You say that, Mel, you had her at 4th in your top 5 forwards to start the season.
Yeah, but that's because I think she has the fantasy scoring potential. But in terms of, like, as a actual player, Like, if she's not in that role, I mean, that wasn't because I love Horton. That was because the role's there, right? Because if Port do well, she'll do well. But I don't know. I think she's not necessarily going to come back from here, especially when you've got young guns like Teagle taking all the goals, looking very comfortable in that role.
I think it's Horton's spending a lot more time planted in forward 50, in part because of Teagle, but I think Ash Saint has been given far greater license to run up the ground, and that's almost certainly impacting her scoring, even if Saint's not scoring that many points either.
Mm. Another option we've got here is Sheerlaw. Is anyone actually considering this?
I am a little bit. I think just having a very good year, and, you know, North, she's their main target inside 50. So I just don't see her having massively down weeks. You know, I think as long as there are decent conditions, she's going to keep putting up decent scores. It's only been, what, a week since she had 5 goals against the D's?
Mm.
So she's got a massive ceiling capable. It's just, are we going to see it in the next 2 weeks, in the next 2 games?
With your current mental trades, Jono, how many North Melbourne players are you bringing in? Because it sounds like a lot.
Yeah, look, last week I brought in 3 Collingwood players and 2 of them were great. So this week, 3 North players. Sounds a brilliant system.
Just to backtrack slightly on Kate Sheerlaw, I think it would be remiss of us to not mention the fact that she is 36 and a key forward that hasn't had over 80% time on ground in her last 2 games. She's not a great recipe for very short return or very short gaps between playing games.
I reckon we've brought up 5 players today that don't have 80% time on ground.
Mm.
And I've brought in plenty of 36-year-old this seasons. For example, Kate Lutkins.
That works
and it
so
always
well.
Works out really well. So I have no concerns. No concerns whatsoever.
Well, that's fair.
In that case,
that's fair.
Lock it in. Let's look on the other side of this, which is at some rookies that we could be bringing in for some cash gen options, not necessarily for our field, but we'll see how it goes. Just reflecting on some of the big rookies from this last week. Cronin, I don't know her first name off the top of my heart. Oh, there.
Lucy
Cronin from Collingwood, 81 as a defender. What an amazing performance that was. If only she was going into her double round now and we could bring her in. She's one that I actually think could be potential, because if Ruby stays playing in the midfield because of the Davey, Benici, etc. situation, and Cronin stays in defence, then she could hold on to that role and she could actually be a really good cash gen option. So if you're doing shuffles around in your defence and you're looking for a cash gen, even though she's just had her double round, could be okay. Maybe not this week, but did anyone else impress you this week, guys?
I think Emily Fiedler needs another mention for another friend of the pod, one of the few players that we interviewed from the supplemental draft. She has seriously impressed me with her ruck craft. I did not expect this degree of quality coming in, still playing relatively low time on ground, but she is looking more than capable and probably one of the few players that can say they comfortably dominated their opponent in the St Kilda Hawthorn game. She looked more than comfortable up against Lucy Wales.
What about you, Jono?
Yeah, I think the one player that I'm looking at is Sarah Grundon, who put up a 57. Small forward for Sydney, and I think very much benefited from playing the Giants, who, not necessarily the strongest teams in the comp, but Sydney come up against the Bulldogs this week, so I think she can probably back this up. So that's one player that I am hoping can make some quick cash in the forward line.
Hmm, I like that option too. In terms of players that are going to be going into their double in week 5, someone that I'm quite looking at here is Mackenzie Ford, the midfielder from Richmond, because I'm thinking about potential downgrades, because like I imagine a lot of people, there's quite a few really good rookies from Port Adelaide that we still have, which can go straight on field and make us some cash, or not cash necessarily, but get us some double points there. So I'm looking at who am I putting on my bench that is going to get me some cash that isn't going to be playing next week. And I think Mackenzie Ford could be a good option. We also have a couple of options from Carlton. Liam?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I thought you were going to start ripping into them. Lulu Beattie was someone that we were interested in the preseason. She scored a 37 on the weekends and had actually dropped a little bit of cash. So absolutely a perfectly fine downgrade option. Then the other one is Maddie Hendry, who missed a week but still had a very low break even. So we'll pop up a bunch in cash, but probably still has maybe 100K more to make in our defense. So they're both definitely going to be options. I think the big issue for a lot of people this week is there is not a lot of forward downgrade options. The one that I wanted to mention was, do we get a look at Darcy Vecio? They finally managed to put us up a score above 32. They scored 54 on the weekend. They were priced at 381k going into the round. We have obviously not got their updated price. If you were like me and had Michaela Pounger sitting there, would you take a stab at DV? On field, yep.
Yeah. No, I think I would, and particularly this week, to be honest, because, I mean, you only need one of the two games to be good to make it worthwhile, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah,
I have a bad feeling that Pounger's getting dropped.
Yeah. I was having a look at some of the options in this price bracket, and I was like, Darcy Vecio. Not someone that I've actually put on my field, but someone we spoke a lot about in the preseason and had some really good scores, I think, in their Pracky game on that wing. This is probably the week that they can actually be fantasy relevant because it's always been a little bit like in that range. But yeah, I was seriously considering that as well. I think this is a good week to bring him in.
The other name that I wanted to mention, they've not played yet, but another player that we talked about a lot in the preseason from Carlton, Yaz Dersma, has been on the emergencies the last few weeks. Carlton didn't win on the weekend. I think there's a real possibility that she'll play. So just a name to keep in your back pocket. And also at 350k, so affordable in our forward lines if we're looking to cover for a less than spectacular F5.
Another player that's potentially a little more expensive now, but Tani Brown. Was just under 500k coming into the round, but has put up some decent scores back-to-back here against the Cats and then the Tigers. So, I don't know. It just in that awkward 500k-ish price, I think there's some players who, you know, some people looking for someone in that option. Could be 100 for the week.
Yeah, that's tricky price range, but good option. And the last one I guess we should mention here is, Liam, you were keen on a Fremantle ruck. Oh, no, forward.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well,
yeah, Fremantle forward, who was in my team last year and was actually my red dot loop for most of the year, and that's Ariana Hetherington. Came in week three, had 27% time on ground, scored 21, so great points per minute, but had a 49 on the weekend playing predominantly as a forward and also as a chop-out ruck. With Anya Tighe out, I think she'll hold her spot in the side. He's going to have a low break-even. I think it's a viable forward downgrade, particularly if you don't, and I think you quite rightfully don't love the downgrade options on the week five double game week.
Downgrade for the bench?
Downgrade, like, to be honest, you could field. Like, I think that's what we saw. Like, a lot of our rookie forwards have struggled to hit 50, and there were very few players on the weekend from the double game weeks that didn't hit 50 if they played both games. So, like, we might just be rolling through a selection of double game week rookies at F5 and D5 just so that we can keep the rest of our team upgrading to some real primo options.
Yeah, makes sense to me. I unfortunately don't have a rookie at F5 to do that with.
You say unfortunately, but what you mean is
my team's going so well.
My team is better in that respect.
Let's just go back to my score this week to confirm how well my team is doing.
Hang on, I'm just being handed a note.
Yes. Well, I mean, the reason my team didn't do good was because of captains. So, Liam, let's chat Captain's Corner for this week, taking all of our learnings in from the first of the double games.
Yes. I think you're going to want to continue to try and play the VCC loophole game. So that does mean that you need to be looking at the order of the games. And I think it comes as no surprise that the two best options for this week are Ash Riddell and Jazz Garner. for the reasons that we've discussed already, I think Riddell is probably going to be the highest scoring option across the two games. But I also think there is a very good shout that Monconti, particularly first game up against Port Adelaide, is a very viable VC option for everyone to pick. So would definitely be looking at that. After that, we don't have that many premium kind of 100 plus averaging options. I think Mia King, as we've already discussed, is a shout. But I think if you've, like, it's an unfortunate situation where she'd be probably a far better VC than she is C. But if you've only got Conti and King, I think we saw this week, you put the VC on Conti just in case we end up with another Bree Davy situation. And then Jono had a hand in ranking these. I think Maddie Guerin is a very hard Jono pick, but I also can't criticize it because her scoring over the last two weeks has been spectacular. But I do feel like there's a pretty decent kind of blanket over a bunch of options outside of that. So Abby Darrick, as discussed, best scorer at Port Adelaide, could easily put up a ton. Abby Mackay, Keely Sharar, Ellie McKenzie, all players who can score capably. And look, hey, they scored 110 in the preseason. Sinead Goody as the most speculative of speculative options.
That is a wild option based on the last month of scoring.
I know, but I just felt I just wanted to say something fun because the captains are less fun now because there's the options are so limited.
They're way more fun. They're not just saying everybody.
Incredibly relevant.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It's limited. It's been limited either way.
Maybe I should get Maddie Guerin in just so I can captain her.
I think you should do that.
Yeah.
Up against North.
I did an impulsive trade because I wanted a fun captain in that first game. So that I was like, I'm watching this game. I'll bring in someone. I'll have a fun captain. It didn't quite work, but it was fun.
Mel's positivity is carrying the pod this week.
Everyone have fun. Yeah. It's about having fun. Okay, well, speaking of fun, my trade plans for this week, currently I'm thinking that I'm going to go, well, I don't really need to trade in a good C option because I got Riddell. I don't have a VC option right now other than maybe like a Goody window situation, but I'm not sure if I'm going to give myself one because I really back Riddell. So I think I'm going to go Huddle out to Fiedler as probably my on-field ruck or O'Dowd, not too sure yet, but essentially I'm going to cash out of Hardill and get my probably bench ruck or ruck cash gen option there. My current thinking is Michaela Cann out to Mackenzie Ford as a cash gen option, but I'm not really too sure if I want to do that necessarily. I think she's a good option, but I'm not really sure how I'm going to arrange my Port Adelaide midfielders. This is the time to make the most of them. But yeah, anyway, not sure about that. And then something I'm tossing up is like, Goldrick looks really good and I think she's a sweet 16 must have. And I don't have her. So do I bring her in now? Do I bring her in later? Am I just bringing her in because I have FOMO? I'm not too sure, but Slice has got to go anyway. So that could be a good trade, Jono.
Well, I'm wondering, because about 15 minutes ago on this episode, I think you pointed out the strategy of not getting round 7 double week players until we were closer to. So I'm just wondering how you're going to reconcile it with doing exactly that right now.
Yes.
FOMO's real.
Yes, and, because we're keeping it positive, yes, and these are my preliminary trades based on my impulses of really wanting Goldrick in. So...
yeah,
I'm probably not going to go Cann to Ford either because that's a bit silly. I don't really need four rookies playing double games in this week in terms of midfielders. Mm-hmm. Essentially, I don't really know what I'm going to do, but this is just some options. But what I'm not going to do, because it's my point of weakness, is bring in Foley.
Nice. Look at you respecting your own team. I love it.
What about you, Jono?
Well, I definitely need to get rid of Bree Davy. Yep. Just erase that mistake from my team altogether. Preferably, I can bring in Jazz Garner And if I can't, definitely try and reach Alice O'Loughlin.
Mm.
I'll probably be moving on one of Hodder or Slasher and trying to use the cash from Hartill to do so, to get those players up and around to who I want. The hard part is I love Ruby Slasher. I always talk her up. And now that she's got a midfield role, it's even though she's not scoring, even though she's scoring worse than she does in defense, I just like it. I like when my players play midfield. So it's hard to let go.
You're clinging to the idea of Ruby Slasher.
I'm a big believer in the role over the player, and this is the role and the player, and it's just not working out. So it's all the frustrations.
What about you then, Liam?
Yeah, I've got kind of two trains of thought. I can go keep Izzy Pritchard and then use a downgrade, kind of take Ruby off field, use the cash that's on her head, put Dana Finn on field to allow me to upgrade Davey up to a premium mid. Or alternatively, I can upgrade Pritchard to North Melbourne mid, take Davey down to a cash generator, put Sinead Goody on field. That would also potentially leave me to cash to upgrade Michaela Pounger. Don't know to whom. Have not had the ability to kind of see what cash I have sitting around in different places. It's going to be a real tough week this week. The Bree Davey injury really does throw a spanner in the works. And I would also just like to say, just know that if I'm bringing in a premium this week, I am on a solid run of all my premiums getting injured. Just know that whomever I trade in, their injury risk went through the roof.
Are you going to announce it before you do so?
No, because I don't know.
So we're all just hoping that we're not making the same decisions as Liam.
Correct.
Listen to this podcast at your own risk.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's okay, because he's keen on Ghana.
Question for you, Liam. Mel said she has 8 players on the double week this week. I only have 4. How many do you have before trades?
I haven't even done the maths yet. So, 4 trades. I've got...
curious that...
I actually have 9, 4, but I'm not going to put all 9 on field.
5.
9. That's so many. 6. I only have 4, and that's with all those players on the bench right now, except for Riddell.
Yeah, but I had 1 last week pre-trades.
So I currently have 7.
Before trades?
Oh, I'm falling
One of them, Celine. Where are my eggs? So that doesn't really count.
Moody. Why doesn't that count?
Celine Moody. I think Celine. Because she scored an 8 this week.
8-0?
Yes, correct. Thank you, Jono. 8.
You didn't hear an AT. It was an 8. Yeah.
Ouch. Is she staying? Are you going to trade her out?
Well, she's 300K. There's no point trading her out, Mel. You're not wasting the trade. I should have just gone Fiedler. I just thought she'd only play for a week.
Well, yeah, I've got Bresnahan, Sheeran. No. Bresnahan, Finn, Sheeran. Yes. Riddell, Window, Wendland, Goody, KB, and Chipotle. So if I don't have a good week, there's something wrong with me because it's not my team.
Oh, can I also say, I know why I traded her out and I stand by the decision. But at the same time, we were talking about how Lucy Wales had 3 tough games to get through and then she was going to be sorted for the rest of the season. And this is the first game out of that run and she puts up, what, a 94? Ugh.
Ugh.
I hate it when we know what's going to happen and then we don't benefit from it. You know, it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Own worst enemies. Well, let's... Oh, Liam, what's your point of weakness?
My point of weakness appears to be me. And every time I consider an option, I settle on the one that would net me out at the fewest points.
Mm.
Yep. Look, I hear you, but also you've now used the one time this year you're allowed to call yourself your team's point of weakness.
I was about to say.
I used it up in week 1. You did well holding on to week 4. Mel, you're still holding yours. Good job.
I am faultless. None of this is ever my fault. I am a perfect coach. And it is just the universe is out to get me.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's wrap it up there then. This has been Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, or we've got 2 streams, Free Kick and the official AFLW Fantasy Podcast on Spotify. You can also listen to us as Free Kick W Pod on YouTube and have a look at our socials as Free Kick W Pod on Twitter and Insta. Liam, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter commiserating many injuries at Liam AFLW Fantasy.
And you can find me on Twitter at FreeKickJono.
I am infrequently on Twitter as FreeKickMel. As usual, there'll be an article coming out later this week on the AFLW website. Any idea what you guys are going to write about this week?
It's just me this week.
Oh.
It is just Liam. I'm off to Perth for yet another wedding. So nice. Liam's got solo duties this week.
So if the advice is bad, it was actually a joint effort and Jono was ghostwriting the article.
Yeah, nice. Awesome. Well, looking forward to reading that one later then, and we'll chat to you all later. Bye.
See ya.
See ya.